Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jackman. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
Musicians, thank you for blessing us today. You can be turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 21. We're going to look at the first few verses of Acts chapter 21. It's great to see you. Glad you had the time right. I always love this Sunday because it's usually one of the busiest 9:45 services we have all year long. They don't understand why they're 15 minutes late for the service, but you know, I guess there's still a lot of people, you do have to manually set the clock. I'm glad most of my clocks do that automatically. So it is easier to keep up with. I'll echo Stephen's words and just say a welcome to each of you. Glad you're here. If there's any way, you know, after there any way we can pray for you, minister to you, we would love to do that. Thanks for gathering with us today, especially if you're a guest. Look forward to meeting you at the end of the service. Today, as we continue in our series and Go and Tell, I want to bring a message that's really kind of focused on living out our faith and really focusing on living out our faith during difficult times, during times when it seems like the world is coming more and more against who we are, against what we stand for. How do we live out our faith? And what I really want us to do is focus on the disconnect between oftentimes we see in our lives and the lives of those we read about in the book of Acts, the lives of those living out their faith in the first century church. And the only way that I can explain that there is such a disconnect is that we make the mistake so often is looking at the book of Acts as simply a book of the history of the church and not a book about God working in the church, the way he worked in the church then and the way he works in the church today. So often we look at the book of Acts and we see historical things that happen in the lives and we think they're these super believers. You know, they were so much further ahead of where we are. And as I said this morning, you know, I'll just say to all of us, you know, as God worked in the life, and we think of God working in the life of King David. Remember when we first hear about King David, he's not King David. He's a shepherd boy that wasn't even invited to the family party because he was out watching the sheep. Okay, it's not like you have to arrive to a position of prominence within a body before you can begin focus on how do I, in a more passionate way, live out my faith. I'm glad, young people, I love how you are faithful in reminding our kids that we're to live out our faith today. That it's not like you're preparing them for one day when they get out of college and then they can start living out their faith. No, you can live out your faith today. Matter of fact, Timothy, we've already read about him in this series. He was a leader in the book of Acts. He was a leader in the first century church. And what was Paul's warning to him at the end of his life? He said, don't let people shun your youth. Many scholars believe that he was in his late teens when he was active in serving in the body of Christ. So I want us to look at how do we live out our faith? How do we close the disconnect between what we see God doing in the book of Acts and what God desires to do in our lives and in our church today. I want us to focus on two words, and I'm going to go ahead and give you the words, because how do we do it? How do we live out our faith in the world today? The two words I want to focus on, the first is the word discernment. Spiritual discernment and praying for spiritual discernment in our lives. And the second word is resolve. We need to have a spiritual resolve in our lives that dictate that we are going to not only seek after, but we're going to obey as closely as we can what the will of God is in our lives. I'm going to begin in verse 1 of chapter 21. We saw last week as Paul was leaving the church, and he told the churches there in the Macedonia area, I'm not going to be back here. I've seen your face, and many of you, you've seen my face for the last time, and there was weeping, and there was just this great love, and now they have set sail. And verse 1 of chapter 21 says, now it came to pass that when he had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course. See, Paul knew if he was going to make it to Jerusalem by Pentecost, he couldn't do as he had gone out. He could not just kind of walk the coastline and be in the city's clothes. No, he would have to sail in a more direct route. And that's exactly what Luke is reminding us that he did. He came to Cus, and then following they to Rhodes. And from there, you can map this in your Bible map to Patara. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. And when we had sighted Cyprus, we came and we passed it on the left. We sailed to Syria and landed in Tyre, and there the ship unloaded her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. Okay? Now here's where I want us to pay close attention, because Paul had told us in chapter 18 that the Spirit of God was constraining him to go to Jerusalem. The Spirit of God was leading, was speaking into his life and going into Jerusalem. Now we're going to hear what his friends had to say, and this is where spiritual discernment needs to come in to our lives. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go to Jerusalem. And when we had come to the end of those days, we departed and went our way, and they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and prayed. When we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship, and they returned home. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren, and stayed with them 1 day. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, one of the first really disciples, but really one of the first deacons that we read about in Acts chapter 6, and they stayed in his house with him. Verse 9. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. So there was a prophetic gift here that Luke is mentioning. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now when we, this is Luke with his companions, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, "The will of the Lord be done." So they ceased. What were they ceasing? Trying to talk Paul out of going. And they turned it to a beautiful phrase, "Let the will of the Lord be done." And it says, verse 15, "And after those days, we packed and went up to Jerusalem." How do we live out our faith in uncertain times? How do we live out our faith when it seems the world is becoming more and more against what we stand on, what we stand for, and what do we believe? What do we need to have? What are keys we need to have and we need to pray for in our lives in order to live out our faith? First of all, we need spiritual discernment. That's right. We need spiritual discernment in our lives. Again, this can be confusing. Paul had already stated that the Spirit of God was constraining him to go to Jerusalem to take an offering and to give a report of all that God has done. But in verse 4, there were those that he had come in contact with, disciples, on his trip, and they gave a warning, and it says the warning came in the Spirit, and they were trying to persuade Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Then when he ends up there at the home of Philip the evangelist in Caesarea, as he is there, they begin to say, he begins to give a prophecy, and he takes Paul's belt, and he wraps his own arms and his feet, and he says that, hey, the prophecy is this: whoever owns this belt is going to be led away, is going to be bound by his hands and feet and turned over to the Gentiles. So how do we reckon this? How do we work through this where Paul says the Spirit is leading me to go to Jerusalem, but yet there seems to be others saying the Spirit is saying you should not go to Jerusalem? How do we live this out? How do we move forward when there's something it's not exactly clear in Scripture what we're to do or what we're not to do? I know pastors will sometimes face this when we are praying about, do we go? Do we go to this church? Do we go to that church? Do we go to the mission field? Maybe you've been praying through, am I supposed to go on this mission trip or that mission trip? And you have all these things going on in our lives that it doesn't say you shall go here or shall go there. How do we live this out? How do we discern these things? Well, Paul understood that a warning, even a Spirit-given warning about problems that might arise and danger that might occur, does not mean the Spirit is still not saying to go. Okay, Paul understood what it was like to have his plans changed. Okay, in Acts chapter 16, Paul wanted to go preach in Asia, modern-day Turkey, but yet he said the Spirit forbade that we preach in Turkey, and he ends up going over to Macedonia. So it wasn't like Paul was just blocking out the Spirit and needed other people to speak into his life. No, he understood that the Spirit could stop him from going. So when he hears these warnings, he understood them just as that. Warnings that the way was going to be rough. See, we have warnings in Scripture. Okay, the Bible says all who desire to live godly lives, to follow Christ, you're going to face persecution. You're going to face problems. Now, with that, the next verse doesn't say, so go to your basement and hide. It doesn't say, in this world, you're going to have troubles, and because of that, go put a big wall around your church building and don't let anybody see you there. No, even with the warnings that the way will be rough, we are still told to take the gospel into the world. Paul hears the warnings and he's praying through it. He's seeking to be obedient. He's listening to what people are saying and he's praying for spiritual discernment in his life. Peter was warned. That's one of the most graphic things to me in Scripture. And it's the end of John where Peter has been restored for ministry, that beautiful three times Jesus says, do you love me? And remember, Jesus tells John what he's going to do, and then Peter says, hey, what about me? What's going to happen to me? And Jesus, I can just see him stretching out his hands. He says, Peter, one day someone's going to stretch out your hand. And don't you wonder if he could see the scars or see the holes when Jesus did that? One day they're going to stretch out your hands and they're going to lead you where you don't want to go. And again, Jesus didn't say, so you better go hide. He said, feed my sheep. do my will. So how do we know? How do we know? How do we have spiritual discernment in our lives? Again, with things that aren't specifically laid out in Scripture. Again, the Bible doesn't say you go to Kenya or you go to China. The Bible tells us to go. Okay, what about gray areas in our lives? The one I've dealt with, because I pastored enough years in the state of North Carolina. One of the first things, you young guys will love this, that I was told in being a pastor in North Carolina, and I told this before some of you were born, is I was told, now Marty, don't you ever preach against tobacco. Don't do that, will get you fired from a church in North Carolina very quickly. Now, I was told this many, many years ago. So let's use that as an example, okay? Well, you know, the Bible talks about taking care of the temple. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not smoke, okay? It talks about our testimony. It talks about, and these are areas of stumbling blocks that Paul and Peter both have dealt with in Acts. So there's these gray areas where we've got to pray, okay, how do I find discernment? What is it that God is speaking into my life in areas about how I'm to live out my faith, even if it's something that Scripture isn't clear about? How do we do that? Let me give you a couple things. First of all, we spend time in prayer. We spend time in prayer. That's what I do in my life. If it's something, I'll just pray. God, how does this hurt my testimony? God, how does this help my testimony? God, could this be a stumbling block to other believers as I'm praying through things in my life? We need to spend time in prayer asking God for spiritual discernment when we are seeking to live out our faith daily, live out our faith ongoing, taking the gospel into the world. Now, here's what we can't do. Most of us in America, and it's just the lives we live. I tell you, living in America today, I believe every one of us have attention deficit disorder. It's just part of life. We have so many irons in the fire and going in so many different directions. I love to go to the gym and I see the person and they're listening to an iPod. They've got earbuds in. They're looking at a screen trying to keep up with words on the screen, and they've got a book open in front of them. Their head's gonna explode. And we have so many things going on in our life. And here's how we'll often treat prayer. We will pray about something one time and then we move on to the next thing. Now, when it comes to spiritual discernment, we need to pray and pray and pray and be like a hound dog, that we do not let up, we do not cease praying until God has given us the answer of what we're praying about. Paul would talk about pleading with the Lord. When was the last time you pleaded with the Lord about something? We need to make sure that as we're living our lives and we have these questions, should I go here? Should I do this? Just as Paul was going through, he has people he loves speaking into his life, but yet he knows what the Spirit has confirmed in his life. How do we do it? We need to pray and spend time, hours, investing that time praying till God gives us an answer. So what else do we do? We go to the Word of God. And I'm not giving you those as prayer is more important than the Word. I could have easily said, go to the Word of God and then spend time in prayer. They are both of equal importance as we are discerning the will of God. But go to the Word of God and ask yourself this question. Is there anything that I sense God leading me to do that goes against what's in His Word? Because God will not, hear me, God is not going to tell you a revelation that goes against His Word. He's not going to contradict Himself. So if you're praying about something and you find in the Word of God somebody says you are not to do that, don't think that you have some kind of special revelation that says it's okay. Probably 15 years ago, I had someone say to me, a gentleman came to me and said to me, I believe that God wants me to leave my wife and he's let another woman into my life. Let me tell you something. He didn't have a word from God. I promise you that wasn't a word from God. He didn't need discernment. He needed a bat. That's what he needed. Saying, God told me this. God's not going to contradict his word. So if you're praying through something, go to the scripture and say, okay, does this match what God's word says? Okay, we've got prayer. We've got scripture. What else do we have? Well, it's okay to seek godly counsel. Now, hear me. Godly counsel from friends, that is secondary to prayer and the word of God. Because the word of God are fallible, and even your godliest of friends are not fallible, are not infallible. They can be fallible. Okay, that's exactly what Paul's experiencing here. People who are disciples are saying, we have this warning, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem. And Paul's going to say, I hear the warning, but God's told me to go, and I'm still going to go. So you listen to people, you let them speak into your life, and then you pray. You go to God's word, and you pray through all of this, saying, God, give me the wisdom. You be diligent and search for God's will, no matter what the circumstance is in your life. It can be very difficult. I remember praying about going to teach in a seminary out of state many years ago, right as I was finishing, you know, my doctoral work. And I just had just believed it with everything that was in me, God wanted me to pastor. That's where my heart was. I felt like that was more where my gifting was. And yet I had somebody who I loved and respected say to me, God told me you're supposed to do this. That was hard because that's not what I sense God telling me. Now, here's what I did. I spent time in prayer, in the Word, for weeks, for months. Lori was praying with me on this, and we both came to the conclusion that God had truly confirmed in our lives that I was supposed to be in the pastorate. Now was this brother, was he ungodly? Was he evil? No. But he sensed he had a word from the Lord. I believed I had a word from the Lord. So what you have to do in that is pray through it, go to his word, and let God confirm what his will is for your life. To live out your faith, you're going to need, with all the things that are going to come up, we need spiritual discernment in our lives. Well, what's the other word? The word was resolve. We need to have a spiritual resolve in our life. Once Paul had discerned what the will of God was, what does he say? Look at verse 13. Paul answered after they're pleading with him, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Paul would not be lured away. He would not be detoured. He would not be stopped. He had a resolve about him that no matter what it cost, I'm going to do the will of God. He wasn't, as the Bible says, a double-minded man. that was just tossed to and fro at the whim of every person that talked to him. Where he would hear one person that would say, you ought to go to Jerusalem. He'd say, yes, I'm going to Jerusalem. And then 5 minutes later, someone would come into his life. I don't know if you ought to go to Jerusalem. Oh, you're right. It's probably too rough. It's probably too bad. I'm probably not going to go. No, he had a resolve in his life that no matter what it cost, he was going to stand on the will of God. Lyle, you're in the PhD program. Very soon, you're going to be defending a dissertation. Well, very soon is a real relative term, okay? All right. And here's what professors are going to do. They're going to try to get you to just sway on your conclusions. And they'll do things like, well, Lyle, what I hear you saying is this, and you want to impress the professor, and you don't want to go against what they're saying, and you'll say, that's right. That's exactly what I'm saying. And the next professor will go, well, wait a minute, so what I hear you saying is this. That's what I'm saying. And then, man, you better run then. Because they're going to go, wait a minute, you just told me this. You just told me the conclusion was this. Now you're saying the conclusion is this. No, you go through this process so you can cement your findings and you stand on your findings. That's what Paul was doing. God has told me I'm to go to Jerusalem, and I'm not going to be persuaded. Now, how do you come to that point? Paul had already settled his life, who his life was going to be centered on. His life was not going to be centered on himself and his own happiness and his own desires. His life was going to be centered on Christ. That's why he could say to live is Christ and to die is gain. The reason so often we have a disconnect in our lives and we can't live out our faith in a tough world is because we have not come to the point where we would be willing to say to live is Christ and to die and be with God is gain. We struggle with that. We are so in love with the things of this world and the comforts of this world. So often we're not willing to risk it all. And that's why we are willing to run and hide and not stand on what we believe. About 10 years ago, I read a letter that I want to read again. It was a journal entry, and it was found by a missionary in Africa. It was found in his belongings after he was martyred for his faith. And the letter says this, I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit's power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean in his presence, walk by patience, am uplifted by prayer, and I labor with love. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way rough, my companions are few, my guide reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the enemy, pander at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. That's the resolve we need as believers. That when we understand God's will and what God's saying into our life, that we aren't lured away and we don't walk away because things get tough in our lives. We need a resolve to live out our faith today. You know, I love reading history. And I love reading the memoirs and the notes that from Dwight Eisenhower concerning one of the most crucial events in the probably the life of our nation. And it was the days and the really the months, even a year, leading up to the D-Day invasion. And I don't know of another decision that took more discernment. And Eisenhower, he would pray, he sought input. He got the leaders from all the different armed forces to come together. Some were saying, let's go for it. Some were saying, it's a suicide mission, we shouldn't do it. He even got discerning information from the weatherman, because remember they had delayed it one time because the seas were too rough. And there was a window that they could go. So he takes all of this information as he's seeking to discern, is it the right time for us to go? And when he came to that point where he said, it's definitely the right time, let's go. And his words were, I am certain that we must do this. And it was a turning point in World War II. You know, in many ways, our lives are just as much of a war. We call it spiritual warfare. It's Satan coming against us, trying to convince us that the last thing we should do is live out our faith, and what we ought to do is live out for ourselves. So what do we do in living out our faith? We do just like it was that war that Eisenhower. We seek discernment. God, what would you have me do? God, how would you have me live? Where would you have me go? Many things are very clear in Scripture. But if it's not, we seek discernment. And then once God reveals to us his will, we have that same resolve to go and not look back and keep Christ the center of our life. That way, he's not just the God of history. He's the God that still moves today. And he's moving in our lives. Let's pray together. Lord, I lead our church in prayer that, Lord, you would give us a discerning spirit to know your will. To know as we reach out in our own community, or whether it be our ministry center or other local missions, as we think of places and where to go throughout the world, whether we're praying about whether it be disaster relief, whatever it would be, Lord, you are leading us. And Lord, give us a heart to say yes and to seek your will. And when we know your will for us, that, Lord, we would not back away. Even if it's unpopular, even if it's hard, Lord, even if it would mean our own lives, Lord, give us that resolve. Lord, speak into lives today. Lord, draw the lost person to yourself. Lord, comfort the one who's hurting. Convict the one in sin. And Lord, help us to be obedient even as we respond to you. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call 919-847-4477. Thanks again, and have a blessed day.